Let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. Today we finish chapter 1 of this really wonderful Gospel. Of course, they're all wonderful. This is a unique Gospel in that it's relatively short in comparison to the others. It focuses on the actions of Jesus as the servant of the Lord. And this morning, we indeed come upon another very striking display of the divine power of Christ. So let me focus your attention on Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse number 40. Hear now the reading of God's holy inspired word. "And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter. The grass withers, flower falls, but this, the word of God, endures forever." Let's pray together. Our God in heaven, as we now look at this amazing account, a display of your miraculous power, an amazing transformation in the life of an individual, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would indeed open the hearts of all of us here, open the eyes of our understanding, and Lord, may we hear and see what you want us to become more like Christ. In his name we pray, amen. Well, if you recall what events took place just prior to this, still scratching their heads at the decision of Jesus to leave what was a very promising revival ministry, if you will, a very promising healing ministry that was going on there in Capernaum, they nevertheless move on out of town and continue throughout Galilee with Jesus as he preaches in the synagogues and continues to cast out demons. Rather than continue in Capernaum with this easy opportunity of all the people flocking there to come here and experience the miraculous powers of Jesus, he preaches, for that is what he was called to do, to preach the gospel to the lost people of Israel, and yes, even unto the ends of the earth, ultimately. But one thing we noted last week, as we looked at the various healings, the miraculous healings, the miraculous casting out of demons, is that these events, though physical, they were even more than just physical healings. They were a symbol, if you will. They were a foreshadow of something more, and that is the spiritual healing that Jesus came to provide. In fact, there are those who say that Mark's gospel lacks a lot of recorded teachings of Jesus, and that is actually true. Mark does not record as much teaching material as, say, for example, Matthew and Luke and John. However, as many commentators have noted, what Mark lacks in the content of recorded teaching, he makes up for in the way he presents this material, these miraculous events. Because when Mark presents them, we can see in these events in a way that they're like living parables. They are symbolic of the spiritual work of the Holy Spirit in the spiritual realm. And that's exactly what we see in this encounter today. I want us to focus on, you see, the leper has a symbolic meaning, just as leprosy in the Bible and in particularly the Old Testament had a spiritual symbolism. It represents sin. Leprosy was symbolic of sin, and thus the healing or the deliverance of leprosy was symbolic of deliverance from sin. And so when we look at this event in the life of this particular leper, we don't know who he is, but it teaches us something. You see, in the Old Testament, we'll see in just a moment, leprosy is clearly seen as sin. And so for our first point this morning, I want us to look at verse 40. And that we see a wretched condition forsaken. A wretched condition indeed was leprosy. We don't really see in this little phrase all that it really is suggesting, and a leper came to him. That, according to many commentators, is a gross understatement of something. One commentator notes, it's an understatement of a highly provocative and offensive encounter. Why? Because it was contrary to the law for a leper to approach anyone. They had to remain outside the camp. They had to be dressed in a certain way. They had to cry out, unclean, unclean. And so here is this leper who is moved by his wretched condition because he hears of someone who can heal him. And so leprosy is not only a wretched condition physically. I did a Google search. I just entered the word leprosy, and then I clicked on the images, and I was actually going to show a couple of those, but some of them were so hideous and grotesque that I decided that's probably not a good idea to do. But you do need to get that impact in your heart and mind, that leprosy caused an individual to become grossly disfigured. When leprosy was in full force, they became a very hideous-looking individual. And this had a very important symbolic effect. You see, sin is a hideous thing in the sight of God. Not only is it physically disfiguring, it renders the person very hard to look upon, much less to touch. In fact, it was against the ceremonial law to touch a leper. Why? Because there was, in addition to being a physical condition, there was a religious connotation to this disease. They were considered unclean ceremonially. Not only were they physically contagious and physically deformed, being unclean barred them from participating in the worship sacrifices, from participating in the synagogue worship, from even communing with their friends and family. They had to go outside the camp. In fact, the idea of zombies is really nothing new, because in the Old Testament, someone with leprosy was in a very real sense considered a walking dead person. They were considered the living dead, for real. Note in Numbers chapter 12, Numbers chapter 12 and in verse 12, do you remember when Aaron and Miriam kind of began complaining and grumbling a little bit about their brother Moses? And God struck Miriam with leprosy. And Aaron intercedes for her and he says, "Let her not be as one dead, whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb." So this idea of someone with leprosy being considered as one dead prevailed throughout the Old Testament. And that was the idea of a leper, someone who is living as a dead person. And what is death? Death is a separation, right? Death ultimately is separation from God, separation from loved ones, separation from community and all of that. And thus, someone with leprosy is a living dead person. And as I said earlier, there is a religious connotation to it. Let me ask you also to turn to Leviticus. I know in the one of the adult Sunday school, the mixed Sunday school class, they're going through Leviticus. I'm not sure how far along you are or how bogged down you got in Leviticus 13 and 14, but there are two chapters dedicated just to the issue of leprosy. Now, it is important to understand in the biblical use of the word, the term that we translate leprosy is perhaps a bit broader than the medical term leprosy is used today. Nevertheless, it covered a variety of skin diseases and skin disorders. Even perhaps elephantitis would have been categorized in the biblical sense as leprosy. But nevertheless, it rendered someone religiously unclean. Look at Leviticus 13 and verses 45 and 46 just to get a glimpse of the condition, of the wretched condition of someone in this state. "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes." All right? "And let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.'" So you'd have to, your clothes would have to be torn, almost symbolic of after someone in the grave for a while, their clothes would be decayed and torn. They'd have to cover their face partly so that the disease that's affected the extremities of their face, the growths on their faces, the shriveling of their nose and their ears and the falling out of their hair and so forth and their eyelashes and their eyebrows. So they had to cover themselves. And in addition to that, they had to yell out as they approached anybody, "Unclean." Now that's a vivid picture. Imagine your life as a leper. We are, spiritually speaking, spiritual lepers. It's a vivid picture. "And he came imploring Jesus." How did he hear of Jesus? Well, we could ask, how could he not have heard of Jesus, right? Because Jesus had been going around throughout Galilee, preaching and casting out demons. We read earlier in Capernaum, he had this great massive healing ministry where people flocked to him and he healed them, first healing Peter's mother-in-law, and then all those after the end of the Sabbath came flocking to him. And so here they are being healed, and clearly word gets out. And this man is so moved and filled with faith that he says, if I could just get to him, I know that he can heal me. Which brings us to our second point to consider. Why would Jesus be willing to let a leper approach him? Well, it's because of a compassionate response by Jesus. A compassionate response given in verse 41. Look at that. Back to Mark chapter 1, verse 41. We see that compassionate response. Moved with pity. Now, I don't know if your Bible has any footnotes. I know there are some textual variants that have other readings. Some would suggest that this is translated moved with anger. There are some arguments that that could be perhaps an interpretation. Either way, the majority, it seems, to go with he was moved with pity. He was moved with compassion. And this quite well fits not only the context, but the character of Christ our Lord, right? He is one who is compassionate. There is no logical explanation why Jesus would allow a leper to touch him. In fact, there's a logical explanation why he should not let him touch him, because it's contrary to the ceremonial law. But when the ceremonial law and the law of love meet, the law of love wins every time. And that's what we see here. He's moved with pity. Here we have not a point that we need to try to figure out why was Jesus moved, but it's a point that we should just ponder and marvel, that he would be willing to save a sinner like me, that he would take my spiritual leprosy upon himself and be willing to be defiled in my place and for me, is exactly what Jesus is doing to this leper. I love the hymn, "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood or love?" Why would Jesus be willing to save sinners? Well, because of his amazing compassion. He stretched out his hand, willing even to become unclean. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the gospel? Christ took upon himself our infirmities that we might be healed. What a beautiful picture. And again, a shocking event for the bystanders to watch Jesus actually stretch out his hand and touch a leper. Which is exactly what he did. He not only felt compassion, he did something about it and establishes an identity with this leper. He is willing to bear the defilement that touching a leper would bring, because that is what Christ did on the cross. It's a beautiful picture. When Christ hung on the cross, he took upon himself our sin, and in exchange, we receive, when we believe in him by faith, his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, a beautiful verse. "For our sake, he, God, made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He comes to him and he says, he said to him, I will be clean. I am willing, is what he's saying. I am willing, therefore, be clean. And you know what's so significant about that? You see, in the context of Leviticus and in the Old Testament ceremonial laws, only the priest could declare a leper clean. You see, there was a lot of rigmarole that had to happen. He had to call the priest, which, by the way, Jesus is going to send him to the priest, and we'll see, talk about that in a moment. But only the priest could actually pronounce a leper clean. My friends, we have a great high priest. He can declare the filthiest sinner clean. There is no sin too large or too gross that Jesus cannot save. Praise God for that. Which brings us to our third point, a miraculous cure. Verse 42. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. You see, this miracle was instantaneous, as all the other miracles we've seen before. It wasn't just a slow process, but an instantaneous. The face that was once disfigured, perhaps the nose, because leprosy, you know, affects the nerves and causes the skin to die and so forth. The extremities shrivel up and perhaps fall off, and perhaps he didn't have any ears. Perhaps his nose had shriveled up to nothing. But now, what was once behind that hidden veil, his nose is fully established. The ears that were once shriveled are fully formed again. The nubs that he had for fingers that had shriveled away are now fully formed once again. The sandals that slid off his feet because the nubs of his toes couldn't hold them on are now fully grown once again, holding his sandals to his feet. He is made immediately whole. No longer does he have to cry out, unclean, but rather, praise God, I'm clean by the grace of Jesus Christ who touched me. Reminds me of that old Gaither song. He touched me. Yes, he touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me, and he made me whole. And that's exactly the song in this leper's heart. Which brings us to our fourth point, which is the bewildering command. The bewildering command that is imposed on this leper. This is quite interesting. We saw this earlier when he told the demons not to tell. Now he's telling a healed man, hey, don't say anything to anyone about this. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once. This is actually a very strong word. It's used in generally in context where it's a negative situation and someone's being warned in an indignant way. And you scratch your head, why would Jesus warn this man not to say anything? Look as we continue. He sternly charged him. He sent him away at once. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone. Now, I don't want to be too hard on this guy. He did disobey Jesus, as we saw in our reading. However, imagine yourself in his situation. You've been a leper. You've been separated. You were a living dead person. Your skin was shriveled up. You had no fingers and toes, and now you're fully healed. and he sends you to the priest, and you're walking to the priest, and somebody sees you. He said, hey, I recognize you. You were that leper. I mean, I remember you when your face was disfigured, and before that even, I know you. What happened? Well, I can't tell you. I mean, just we can't be too hard on the guy. Nevertheless, he did cause Jesus a little difficulty in his disobedience, because then Jesus could no longer preach openly. There was a timetable element, but I don't think Jesus was wanting this man to never say anything, because the very point of sending him to the priest would have done the very same thing when you think about it. Look at this again. He said, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. You see, Jesus is a law keeper. He's abiding by the ceremonial laws here. And he says to the leper, the law says to go to the priest, show yourself to the priest. And of course, he had to find a local priest, most likely. And then when that local priest kind of gave the nod, then they went to Jerusalem and saw the priest on duty to officially declare him clean. And if he was declared clean, then he had to offer sacrifices. And it was a huge ordeal. I mean, there were blood that had to be applied to his right thumb and his right toe, and I forget what else, his right ear, and all sorts of ceremonial things. And throughout all of this, the word gets out. Because you know what? Leprosy was considered virtually an incurable disease. And when someone is healed of leprosy, it's got to be a big deal. And this man was commanded to go and tell the priest. Of course, the reality is, he did disobey. But, as I said earlier, we can't be too hard on him, because we would probably have done the same thing. And what's really unique and interesting is that we don't see Jesus condemning him, at least it's not recorded, showing a little grace and mercy. Because just because we've been forgiven and cleansed does not mean that we are perfect. So, he tells the man to go back, and the reason was for proof to them. Show the priestly community that you've been healed. And by so doing, he would tell them, it was Jesus who did this. And it would have certainly been a messianic sign and confirmation that Jesus, the Messiah, had arrived, and his kingdom indeed had come. Well, we don't know whether the man actually did go to the priest or not, but what we do know is that he did disobey. And in his disobedience, there is no excuse for disobeying a direct command. That's true. However, as I said, it's understandable, because the reality is he remained a sinner, though forgiven. But the point I want to close on this morning is this. There's an irony here that cannot be overlooked in this story, in this account. You see, the spiritual reality is that leprosy is symbolic of sin. The leper is symbolic of us as spiritual lepers. We are spiritually dead. As the leper is considered a living dead person, those without Christ are considered the same, living dead people. And as leprosy is that vivid picture of sin, what does it do? It renders us not only dead, it renders us separate. Separated from loved ones, separated from the community of God, and separated from God Himself, unable to approach the temple. But by the grace of God, by the power of Christ in the gospel, our high priest now declares the leper clean. And as a result of this cleansing, we're no longer separated. We are reconciled to God. But here's the irony. What happened to Jesus after the leper disobeyed? Jesus was no longer able to go into the towns, but it says in verse 45, but was out in desolate places. That's where once formerly the leper lived. The leper had to remain out in desolate places. It's as though they traded places. And that's the spiritual application that I'd like to close with. We call it the concept of substitution. You see, Christ became sin for us so that His righteousness would be ours. We just noted that verse a moment ago. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. All of the Old Testament sacrifices that were offered pictured this very truth. An innocent lamb, an innocent animal, had to be sacrificed in place of the sinner. Every time an Old Testament believer sinned, sacrifice had to be made. It was a picture of saying, I deserve what this animal is getting. And then Christ came as the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. He came as the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, and offered Himself. The great high priest offers Himself as the sacrifice. The beautiful picture of substitution. And the result, well, Paul expressed it in these words in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's the spiritual reality that we see in the healing of the leper. The one who was disfigured, separated from all things pertaining to God and His community, is declared clean and made clean by the touch of the great high priest. Have you been touched by the great high priest Jesus? Can you now say, I am clean by the blood of Christ? Let's pray. Father, we are so amazed at the power of the blood of Christ. And Father, we thank You for Your provision of taking us who were unloving, unlovely, spiritually disfigured, and by Your grace, willingly, You healed us and restored us to Your fellowship. In Jesus' name we praise You. Amen.